Thanks for downloading the Across the Divide podcast, an exclusive Boston Globe podcast focusing on people of color.
This podcast is brought to you by Bob Stores, the original casual clothing and footwear superstore. Real brands, great prices. For the store nearest you, visit Bob's website at www.bobstores.com.
Welcome to the second edition of Across the Divide for the week of December 2nd. I'm Russell Contreras in Boston with a selection of story highlights on people of color around New England. This week...
It's the elderly are afraid that the youth that are in that area are looking for money to buy drugs, and we're against that.
Efforts to move Salem Senior Center in the Point neighborhood, a predominant Latino enclave, has pit the city's senior citizens against Latino activists. Some seniors say the Point can be a scary place because it attracts teens who want to buy drugs. Latino activists say those statements are racist and unfair. Steve Rosenberg from Globe North filed this report.
They call this area the Point, and it's the most congested neighborhood in Salem. For 150 years, the neighborhood's brick tenements on the edge of the Atlantic have welcomed new immigrants to Salem. For most of the last century, French Canadians called the Point home. For the last 30 years, most of the city's Latinos have made the Point their first home. This bustling neighborhood was thrust into an unwanted spotlight last month when an 11-year-old was grabbed off the street and allegedly raped by two assailants. The crime jolted the neighborhood, which has placed its hopes for the future in a proposed $26 million affordable and market-rate housing complex. The crime also gave ammunition to the project's most ardent opponents, senior citizens, who are resisting a plan to locate a city senior center on the complex's ground floor. David Goggin recently spoke out against the plan.
It's the elderly are afraid that the youth that are in that area are looking for money to buy drugs, and we're against that.
City Councilor Lucy Corchado says painting the Point as just an area of crime is racist.
It was unfortunate to see a lot of folks in opposition to the proposed project. So I think probably that would be the biggest obstacle is to try to bypass those stereotypes and educate people as to, you know, what type of people are living here in this neighborhood. It's a lot of hardworking families, people who are trying to raise their children and give a better life, people who are taxpayers, who contribute. And, you know, that's the face of folks in the Point of affordable housing.
Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll, who has championed the $26 million project, says affordable and market-rate housing will help stabilize the Point.
I think we need to create home ownership to bring in some stability, to have folks who really care about not just their unit but their neighborhood. And I think we as a city need to recognize that we have diverse cultures, and it's not going to change overnight.
Corchado and others, including Salem Police Lieutenant Conrad Prosnewski, say the area has some problems but is safe.
The biggest problems down here, you have the kids who are out at all hours of the night causing quality of life issues for the people who want to get rest and live in peace and quiet. They're out making noise, they have loud stereos, they break into cars, they're dealing drugs on the corner. Those are the things that the beat cops in this area are used to dealing with.
In this 20-block area, where 4,000 people live, just 15% own their own homes. That number could rise if the project is approved. But with dozens of seniors opposed and two lawsuits filed against the project, its future is up in the air. Meanwhile, in this neighborhood where rentals push past $1,400 a month, residents like Corchado dream of more affordable housing.
Well, I would like to see the concept of mixed housing that would be afforded to many of the residents here, as well as others who can afford the higher market rate units. We need to all coexist, not just in one area, but throughout the city, and I'm hoping that the development that is proposed for this area would encourage that.
This is Steven Rosenberg for the Boston Globe.
This is Across the Divide. The midterm's over, so of course attention now shifts to the 2008 New Hampshire presidential primaries. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani and Arizona Senator John McCain have formed exploratory committees on the Republican side. For the Democrats, there's New York Senator Hillary Clinton and Illinois Senator Barack Obama. But in the Southwest, there's another name that keeps coming up. New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. He just won re-election for a second term in that state. Richardson is the country's only Latino governor. And if Richardson and Obama both run, it'll be the first time in American history that an African-American and Latino are seeking a major party's nomination for president. Last year, I got a chance to talk to Richardson after the release of his memoir, Between Worlds.
I have always been a very grassroots campaigner. I believe that that's the kind of politics I enjoyed the most. The parades, the door-to-door, the, you know, campaigning at large mass events. I think that the public can get a better feel for you that way rather than negative TV ads and many other technical and internet campaigns that are being run today. And so I just think that it's good for the candidate to mix with voters because you get some good ideas and you know what people are thinking. And then the voters can get a measure of you if they can see you and touch you and feel what you stand for.
When you leave, what kind of legacy do you want to leave the state? What do you want to be remembered for?
I want to be remembered for the education governor, somebody that made our schools better, but also somebody that had a concrete strategy, the seamless strategy of free school to K through 12 to university institution, somebody that made our education institutions better, but also tied them to economic development and higher wage jobs. That's what I want my main legacy to be. Everything else, I believe, revolves around education.
Now, in the book, you get very detailed, especially in the opening when you're meeting Saddam Hussein. How hard was it to relive some of your greatest hits?
Writing the book, you learn a lot about yourself. You remember the things you've done, particularly the mistakes and how you're able to assess yourself better with problems that you've had before and how you dealt with them and how you might do it differently. And just one of the conclusions that I make is being governor has been the best job I have because it's as if I've prepared for it a long time in these very difficult, turbulent jobs that I've had. But governor, clearly you can make a difference. You can set agendas. You can do something about education. And so it's been very fulfilling. And I felt it was important to get a book out while I still remember some of these sort of lessons learned.
A lot of Hispanic publications, I mean, look at you as like, this is our guy. This is our national leader.
Right.
Does that ever put pressure on you to perform? Or?
Well, you have to. You have to act responsibly. And I think the best thing I can do for the Latino community is just be an effective governor. And that sort of translates into many mainstream Americans saying, look, here's a Hispanic governing a state, and he's doing a good job. I'd rather do that than, you know, be a mainstream governor than just sort of a professional Hispanic. You know what I mean? I think it's important to broaden yourself to be a mainstream, but be very proud of being Hispanic, as I am.
So after 2006, the million-dollar question, any other plans, presidency?
Well, what I'm going to do, Russell, and I think I gave you this answer once before, that I'm going to look at 08, I'm going to get reelected and then see what happens, and I'm not precluding any options right now. How's that for a dodge?
Yeah. What about taking vacations out to New Hampshire around the corner for me?
I did that in the spring, and I'll probably do it again. So we'll let you know.
And that's all for today. For other Boston Globe podcasts, please visit boston.com. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Across the Divide. For the Boston Globe, this is Russell Contreras. Thanks for joining us.